The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Woo-hoo. Hey, I can't hear you. Is that a good thing or not? Always at the last minute, we are putting things together here in the studio. Well, it's Sunday again, and it's the 28th of April. Can you believe that?
It is absolutely flying by. It feels like the year just started. Ever since 2020, it feels like it all kind of blends together. And if there's like a trial period of 2020 onward, I'd like to cancel my subscription, please. go to the other universe.
No kidding there, that's for sure. Anyway, my name is Linda Kitt. I'm in the studio with the kid that rocks, David, and his wife, Edith.
Hello.
Welcome back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been
since
a while.
We had you in. And we've got Ben and Christina as our great producers today. Hi, guys. And my brother is on assignment, as we always say.
Yeah, I felt like it had been so long since y'all had heard my voice. I needed to bring across my plus one. That way you could get both sides, get two and one.
I know. It seems like it's been a while since we've been in the studio, period. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
We missed last week. My brother was on assignment. You were sick. It's like, okay, I'm just going to take the day off and get some stuff done. But anyway, we got a lot of stuff we want to cover today. I'm not sure where we want to start. Wow, I don't know. Anyway, don't forget that you can call in at 530-605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You can, you know, join us in the chat. We have sponsors I guess we could go over. Our first sponsor, of course, is Julie Foster Insurance in Red Bluff. And she does everything, you know, home, house, health, your boat, and everything. She's a great insurance person. And she's located at 810 Main Street in Red Bluff. You can always give her a call at 530-527-5534. We have Luke Pearson Construction with years of experience. Does a great job. He's bonded and insured. He delivers excellency in every project he does. If you want to give him a call at 530-605-9575. We have Crackmaster Windshield. My monthly routine is to go to see. I'm telling you, I don't know if you guys heard about the high-speed chase that happened on I-5 the other day.
Mm-mm.
I was on I-5, and that guy went down the center by the divider and pelted my car. The one time.
Doggone it.
I did not put a chip in my windshield. Yay! I didn't have to go see Jeff again, you know, but it scared the living crap out of me. But anyway, he fixes all chips and cracks down there. He's located at 3208 South Market Street, and you can give him a call at 530-241-8373. And then I'll do these other announcements a little bit later.
That'll work.
All right.
So I think we did have one new one, too, that I had actually ended up meeting a gentleman at one of the gun shows, and I asked him to become one of our sponsors, and he has a bunch of different options to be able to do, like, gun cases and things like that. It's supertoolusa.com, and our listeners use Sovereign to be able to get 5% off site-wide.
And they're really cool. Go check them out. I got to get one. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick. Are you there, Dick? Hello?
That would be a no.
Give us a call back. Well, we'll wait for him to call back. Like I say, there's a lot of different topics we want to hit today. One of the first ones is I have a video, and I know a lot of people out there have probably heard this and seen this, and this has to do with one of our local, I can't say news people because they really don't.
Content creator.
Oh, there you go. Right now, we'll go to our caller. Are you there, Dick?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm still trying to help Laura Hobbs with her fundraiser. She's raffling off a Ruger Max 9 9mm, and it says proceeds to pay for Laura Hobbs' legal contest and possible judge ordered recount. The tickets are $20, and you can call me at 530-246-9131, or you can go to Jones Fort and buy tickets. And yesterday afternoon, Morton Gysicki dropped by, and he had this idea to help Laura. He bought me a whole stack of books. It's called The Bulletproof George Washington. I read the foreword to it, and evidently George Washington was protected by some divine power that nobody ever killed him, but all he had lots of opportunities. But it's a book about how George Washington, our first president, and all the battles and stuff he was in. And I haven't read it yet, but I just got it yesterday. But if you buy tickets to help Laura for this Ruger 9mm, you get a free book with it. And
wow.
he's gonna take him to Jones's Fort tomorrow, and he's gonna ask same thing. You buy buy one or more tickets, you get one of those free books about George Washington, our very first president, and the commander of the troops while they were fighting the British.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So, Beth, my friend Beth, if you are listening, she loves to read. So there you go. She was just asking me how she could help Laura Hobbs, and she's always got her nose stuck in a book. So, Laura, go down to Jones Fort and get your tickets and get a book.
Or come to my house at the Red Barn off of
the Red Barn
on Barrel Court. Yeah, my number again is 530-246-9131.
All right. Well, thanks, Dick. We appreciate it. Yeah, she's always got her. She's just asking me, too, so that ought to work really good for people that like to read, like some of us. But anyway, with that, I think we'll just go ahead and play the music and play this video and let our listeners hear it. I'm sure most of them heard it, but I just had to get it out there. So I am ready whenever you are, Ben. We'll be good to go. Go ahead. And here we go. Music. The video.
When is a journalist not a journalist, but something else? Owner of a news cafe, Donnie Leilani Chamberlain was born in Honolulu, Hawaii in 1956. Her parents were Donald and Claudia Joe Chamberlain. Don was a radio DJ and talk show host. Claudia Joe was a homemaker. Donnie's childhood was tumultuous. In 1957, her pregnant mother fired 5 shots from a .22 caliber pistol at her father. Luckily, no one was hurt. Claudia Joe was taken away to the hospital for observation. Don was back on the radio the next day, Only 2 months later, firemen were rushed to the Chamberlain home after Don fell asleep holding a lit cigarette and set the mattress on fire. For reasons that are shrouded in mystery, Don Chamberlain fled Hawaii, leaving Claudia Jo behind. Weeks later, it was discovered that Don was in Puerto Rico working as a door-to-door salesman. The family was eventually reunited, but there was no money. In desperation, Don hatched a plan to steal an $8,000 payroll delivery. He pulled a gun on the delivery man and attempted to rob him. Two passerby and a police officer intervened. In a panic, Don fired a single shot before throwing his gun to the ground and surrendering. At the trial, the prosecutor accused Claudia Jo of being the getaway driver, alleging that she was waiting in the family car with an alternate license plate and airline schedules. She denied any involvement. In 1959, Don Chamberlain was convicted of attempted robbery and sentenced to 5 to 12 years in the Rio Piedras Penitentiary. In 1962, Don was paroled on good behavior and the Chamberlain family was finally reunited in Shasta County, California, where Don's parents lived. In 1962, Don became the station manager of KVIP Radio in Reading. He hosted several talk shows, including Coffee Break Commentary and The Last Word. Don didn't hide his liberal views, but he also engaged all sides of the issues he discussed. Unlike a news cafe, Don firmly believed that giving the left and the right a voice in the debate prevented them from forming extremist camps. Unfortunately, things were not well in the Chamberlain home, and Don and Claudia Jo divorced in 1966. Don later remarried and moved to Oakland, California, leaving Donnie and her sisters behind. In 1972, Don became a counterculture figure with his sex-themed talk show, California Girls. The show was a hit and spawned its own line of body paint and an adult magazine. After years of mental health struggles, Claudia Jo committed suicide on March 8, 1969. Donnie and her sisters were placed in the care of a wealthy foster family who were prominent members of Bethel Church. One of 15 other children in the home, Donnie alleges her foster parents were abusive. Donnie was attending Shasta High School at this time. It was there that she met her future husband, Ross Dompey. They married in 1975. The service was held at Bethel, where the music group Wild Olive performed. Two of the members of that group were Donnie's friends, Bill and Benny Johnson. Donnie and Ross left Bethel in 1978 and moved to Stockton, California, where Ross attended college and Donnie took care of their young children. Donnie would eventually return to Reading, but would never return to Bethel or her Christian faith again. A turning point in Donnie's life occurred in 1992, when her marriage of 16 years ended in divorce. She decided to go back to school and study journalism and graduated from Chico State in 1994. A few years later, Donnie landed a position at the Record Searchlight as their education reporter. During this time, she married the love of her life, Bruce Greenberg. Greenberg was a merchandising manager at the Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Soon afterwards, Donnie began writing her own column that ran for the next 10 years. By 2007, however, the newspaper industry was in decline and Donnie was fired. With the help of her son, Donnie began a blog called Food for Thought. It featured updates on her life, recipes, community events, and reviews of local restaurants, including a glowing review of Anselmo Vineyards in 2009. In 2010, Donnie's personal and professional life was thrown into turmoil when she caught her husband cheating on her with her best friend and former colleague. Without her husband's help, the money for a news cafe dried up and she fired all her contributors. But the site limped on for the next few years and eventually got back on its feet. Donnie remained positive and optimistic in her outlook. In 2018, she wrote a post called Relationship Roots Run Deeper Than Politics and argued that politics should not get in the way of friendships. This view would not last long, however, as the events of the next few years would bring her to a breaking point and change the direction of a news cafe forever. That breaking point came in May of 2020, 2 months into the COVID lockdowns. An admitted germaphobe, Donnie followed every COVID protocol and mandate to a T. When she saw District 5 supervisor Les Baugh break the rules and get a haircut, something inside her snapped. She wrote a scathing takedown of Baugh that would become the model of a news cafe post from that day forward. In May of 2020, Donnie, tried to get Sheriff Magrini canceled for allowing a Mother's Day rodeo. She predicted there would be a surge in COVID deaths, but this never happened. Only a few weeks later, there was a protest in Reading over the death of George Floyd. But she had no concerns that this large gathering would become a super spreader event. In July of 2020, Donnie tried to get Bethel musician Sean Foyt canceled for having the audacity to hold a worship service at the Sundial Bridge, calling him a plague rat for following the directives of God to gather in worship. Soon after, Donnie wrote her most infamous post, titled, "Dear Governor Newsom, we've got trouble right here in River City." In that post, she begged the governor to use the power of the state to punish the average citizens of Shasta County that in her mind were not taking COVID seriously. All this makes perfect sense when you understand Donnie's politics. Donnie, who voted for Bernie Sanders in 2016, supports gay marriage, free college tuition, universal health care, and decriminalizing drug use. Like many on the far left, she is a victim of her own conspiratorial mindset. She will often find bizarre connections between local conservative activists and the far, far right. One example is when she linked the Recall Modi movement with QAnon because she said their logo looked like a Q. In another instance, she compared the Proud Boys, who showed up to Carlos Zapata's trial in 2021, to the KKK, a white supremacist organization. This is an odd statement to make, given that both the Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio and Carlos Zapata are Latino. Donnie also has a long history of bad predictions. She predicted the Red, White, and Blueprint series would never finish, though it went on to produce 8 episodes with thousands of views each. She also predicted that the Recall Modi group wouldn't be able to gather enough signatures to put the recall on the ballot. It not only made it to the ballot, but was successful by a clear majority. More recently, she predicted the effort to recall Kevin Cry would be a resounding success, but it failed. She makes so many bad predictions because she is out of touch with the regular citizens of Shasta County. Donnie and the writers at a news cafe believe they know better than the ignorant masses how Shasta County should be run. To them, anyone who wants Christianity to play a more prominent role in civic life is a Christian nationalist. Someone who takes the Constitution of the United States seriously is a rabid constitutionalist. Any member of a militia is a domestic terrorist, and anyone who cares about election integrity is an election denier. The influence of a news cafe is hard to measure. A series of articles against Measure D to make Shasta County a charter county fell on deaf ears and was passed overwhelmingly by voters. Similarly, a year's worth of dirty hit pieces against Kevin Cry failed to land, and he survived his recall. Though a news cafe garners thousands of views each month, they represent a small echo chamber detached from the day-to-day concerns of average people. Still, a news cafe continues on. Donnie recently tried to sell the site, but got no serious offers. She will likely spend the rest of her life managing her blog, which begs the question, will Donnie and the other denizens of a news cafe ever break free of their far-left echo chamber? Or will they continue screaming into the void?
You gotta make it.
Well, I know it was kind of long, and I know I just had to play it when it came across my computer. I hate to give her that much time in a way, but there was a lot of good points that they went over in regards to Donnie.
Yeah, there was I felt like it was a little long-winded in the beginning as far as the history of the
right.
family. I probably wouldn't have done that personally, but by the same token, there's been a lot of hit pieces over the year where you end up seeing this person that just goes through and just says absolute BS. I mean, she said that you were Mark's wife, for instance,
yeah.
multiple times.
And yeah, many times.
You're not a reporter at that point in time, but you present as you are, and not a journalist. You're a content creator. That's really what it comes down to. And if you're going to be putting hit pieces on people, I'm not surprised that you have Shasta and on whoever he is that puts this stuff out there.
Yeah. I'm not sure who it is. They do a pretty good job, and I agree with you, like, at the beginning. But I also wanted to play that, too, to show, you know, we all have skeletons, so to speak, in the closet. Nobody's perfect. Mm-mm. And she makes it sound like, you know, she's Snow White and everything. So anyway, I don't want to give it too much more time in the chat room. I guess there's a video, a 9-minute video on YouTube in regards to her as well. And the link is in the chat room.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I know that we talked before and we both watched it. I think you probably watched it too,
I
Edith.
Yes, that
movie, mm-hmm. Let My People Go. And I kind of wanted to go over that a little bit because there was a lot of good stuff. I had never really sat and watched it until about a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And even Shasta County made it into that movie mm-hmm. at the end, flashing all the different stuff that we've done. But the guy went over, and people went over a lot of good stuff in that, what we need to do in regards to our votes. What do you guys feel about it?
It was rough. Okay, so I actually, based upon the link itself and with what he had said, the person who created the video, he's just an everyday college professor. He's somebody.
Dave Clemens,
I think it is.
Yeah.
They went after him. They debanked him. They shut down his credit cards. They did anything they could to him to basically mess up production and also mess up the monetary side of this. So he literally requested that everybody who is a content creator, influencer, anybody on the right who has a channel and a platform to bootleg it and post it. So that was the first thing I ended up doing is I ended up doing almost a 24-hour stream of the video.
Oh, wow.
So it's there on Rumble on rumble.com. Fires if you end up wanting to check it out, which we're also live streaming on right now. Seeing the level at which they went to debank him on and the level at which they made it to where you're not allowed to talk about this taboo subject is insanity. It's right. You're not allowed to see it. You're not allowed to share it. They will take it down and copyright strike you on everything. That's why I put it on Rumble based on all the other places absolutely would end up taking it down.
Yeah. We do have a caller. We'll go to him before we continue this. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Are you still talking about Donnie Greenberg?
Well, no, not really, but what you got?
Well, what was left out is that she has her own clothing line. It's called the Donnie Selection. You can get it out at Rating Tent and Awning. I think Susan Barrymore shops there.
Oh.
Just wanted to share that with you.
Okay. Is that all you got, Nick? Oh, I guess
think that is.
Okay.
So the next portion of that, though, is the movie gets into all of the fraud and all of
yes,
the ways that the election had been cheated. And the PID controllers that you end up seeing that were utilized across all of these different races to where you can actually see it's like how an airplane is trying to land on a runway and to get to that certain area. What we saw, and I'm not going to rehash the whole movie, go watch it. I mean, it's absolutely worth your time. But I don't see how we move forwards from here because it hasn't been fixed.
Right. Before we get there, what I found, too, in the movie, and not just the backdoor thing, but was the paper that really struck a bell in my head, you know, because they said, oh, here, we could print out our ballots and all that. You know that the papers comes from a paper company up in Canada. And they can program that machine to do different things depending on the paper, which I didn't realize that they could fine-tune it that much in regards to the paper that you're putting in it, basically making it vote the way they want it to vote.
Well, even to the point of being able to print on your ticket, if you have any empty spots or anything like that, it can just go through and print on your ticket. So if you left an empty spot and didn't vote for somebody, it can do that. And that's why some people were saying that, oh, use a felt marker rather than a blue ballpoint pen, for instance, because you'd be able to see the differences on it. Or the fact that they were able to go through and completely switch off and change everybody's votes with an admin password, and there's no record of that.
Yeah, they also showed where when they filled in the bubble – okay, we're going to take a break, but fill in the bubble, and they would have exactly the same mark on several ballots.
Mm-hmm. Or how you had some people that testified that they had seven Biden, one Trump, seven Biden,
yeah,
one Trump,
exactly.
Seven Biden, one Trump for a whole box of votes. And you've also got people that were able to print out their own ballots and run it through multiple times, or with the admin password, once again, be able to just
right.
run it through as many times as you want on one ballot, and it'll tally it all up. I mean, it's... Yep.
So with that, we'll go to a break. If you want to call in here, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
See you all in about five.
The pulse of excitement as the Reading Rodeo returns. Bucking by the river, May 15th to the 18th. Secure your place now with tickets exclusively available at ReadingRodeo.com. Experience where legends are forged and unforgettable memories created at the Reading Rodeo. Mark your calendars for May 15th to the 18th. Thank you to our sponsors, Reading Rancheria, Valero, and Ford. Don't let this opportunity slip away. Visit ReadingRodeo.com today.
Hello, this is Rollin from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind-rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. In a continuing Town Hall exclusive headline, Shasta Lake City Council disregards mayor's elder abuse. Mayor defies court orders. During last Tuesday's City Council meeting, Shasta Lake resident Christy Matthews presented court findings detailing Mayor Janice Powell's elder abuse case. A Superior Court judge found Powell guilty of breach of trust, fiduciary duty, unjust enrichment, and financial elder abuse. Although she has yet to be criminally charged, these findings constitute crimes. The judge removed Powell as a trustee for exploiting her father's advanced dementia to transfer a vehicle title to herself and refusing to vacate her parents' home when they moved to assisted living, causing financial hardship. The court ordered Powell to return the classic 1968 Chevelle and impose substantial penalties exceeding $100,000. Despite these penalties, Powell has yet to return the vehicle. The city council failed to act, with council member Pamela Morgan supporting Powell and Councilman Watkins dismissing it as a, quote, family matter. Meanwhile, the other two council members were silent. A few supporters of Mayor Powell defended Powell's misconduct, blaming the judge and repeating Powell's version of the facts. Matthews urged the city to collaborate with the Commission on Aging, the district attorney, and Adult Protective Services to avoid further embarrassment by promoting elder abuse awareness. However, due to the inaction of the city council, she left the meeting feeling, quote, the city tactically condones elder abuse. The court's verdict, the imposed penalties, the mayor's position, and the city council's failure to engage the pressing necessity for swift measures to address elder abuse and ultimately regain the community's confidence in the city's leadership. In stark contrast to our first story, the community recently came together to honor a true hero who dedicated his life to serving others. Fred Salanti, a Vietnam War veteran and founder of the Missing in America Project, MIAP, was laid to rest on Tuesday, April 16, 2024, at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery in Igo, leaving behind a legacy of compassion and unwavering commitment to his fellow veterans. Dozens gathered to pay their respects and celebrate the life of a man who dedicated himself to serving others. Through MIAP, Salanti and his team have interred approximately 6,700 unclaimed veterans who had no known family or next of kin. His efforts helped pave the way for the Dignified Burial Act, which became law in 2012. Friends and colleagues shared memories of Salanti during the service, noting his unwavering commitment to honoring his fellow veterans. Salanti's passion for helping others extended beyond MIAP. He assisted local children with terminal diseases and was involved in numerous veteran-focused organizations. His legacy will live on through the countless lives he touched and the ongoing work of MIAP. As a former Army major, Salanti lived a life of service to others, earning him the title of a quiet hero among those who knew him best. He rode around on a three-wheeled motorcycle, garnering a devoted following of supporters, always ready to help with whatever was needed for the veterans he served. Fred Salanti's dedication to honoring unclaimed veterans and serving others has left an indelible mark on countless lives. His legacy inspires us to continue the vital work of the Missing in America Project and ensure every veteran receives the dignified burial that they deserve. As we bid farewell to this remarkable hero, let us remember his compassion, devotion, and the profound impact he had on the world around him. The family asks anyone interested to direct donations to the website at miap.us/donate. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
And we're back. That town hall was from not this last week, the week before, because we weren't here. It didn't get played, so I wanted to go ahead and get that out. We will have a new one coming at the top of the hour when we have some guests come in, too, as well. So back to the movie. You know, you were saying, you know, you don't know if there's like a solution or what do we do from here. What? I think a lot of it was that we need to, one, we all agree, get rid of the machines, mm-hmm. go back to hand count in our, you know, our own communities.
Or have the machines be open source. Because the problem is you can't have proprietary technology, and from what we can see from your proprietary technology, it appears to be proprietary technology to flip votes. You can't have that as a system that's across the nation and expect people to believe in it. You can't have shutdown of all the polling places and say, oh, we're no longer going to have election night. We're going to have election month to see how many votes we need to print in. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that was one thing they showed in the movie is why they do that, you know. And I wondered, and we've talked about it on this show before, why does it take so long? They only count, you know, we'll count on Monday and Wednesday, and then we don't give results till Friday, whatever it is, so that they can mess with the algorithms and the votes within the machine. I never thought about it before until I was watching that movie. Instead of counting it all at once, you're less likely to be manipulating it, correct? You mm-hmm. know?
Well, and you've got, like, so the truck driver who under oath ended up saying that he was transporting pre-filled out ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. Or the fact that you had five different counties that decided the election that were decided in total by less than 30,000 votes, and all of those counties had very shady stuff to where you shut down the polling stations, they were completely closed down, there's no witnesses, there's all kinds of ballots that are being processed, run, and tabulated. Yeah. I mean, it is an absolute crap show once you start looking at it, but nothing's been done. There's no...
Well, it's starting to... You can start seeing that, you know, things are starting to happen. I have headlines here. Supreme Court denies bid to expand no-excuse mail-in ballots in Texas. You know, they're starting to see, but I think going back to the movie, that was the point at the end of the movie for me, was people to get involved locally, whatever your little niche is, to help with having a true and accurate vote, get rid of the machines, hand count... Hold them accountable, you know, like what we're doing in Shasta County with the votes. You know, they don't like it because they want the machine. They want the tabulators and everything.
Well, it gets back to the whole situation of Gavin Newsom, for instance, by executive order ended up making it to where we were not allowed to count the votes by hand. And why is that? Well, you look at the movie, at least from what the movie alleges, it ends up showing that he should have been recalled based upon his
right.
own election that was the recall effort for him. But that got flipped, and that apparently was shown within the movie as far as seeing that goes, and it's very disturbing to see that because everybody's still using these machines. This election's right. still using these machines. And from what I can see on these, too, is that the actual pre-polling, what we just ended up doing just not even a month ago, is what tells them how many ballots they need to print up to be able to screw up the next election.
Oh, so is that what you think that's what they're doing about the whole pre-voting type thing?
That's at least what it alleges. That's what I understood.
Oh, you mean to vote before Election Day?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people feel. There's kind of two sides to that story, is a lot of people feel that way they know the algorithm they're going to need in order to get the results that they want.
Interesting.
Well, that was the question, too, that a lot of people had, and I had originally, is how do we have more people voting than our registered voters in the country? And, I mean, that gets back to the whole situation of, all right, you got 80 million versus 84 million, or... Yeah, 80 million versus 84 million people that were doing it, and there's not even that many people that were registered to vote based upon all the numbers.
Weren't they also showing a little bit on that we had less people now voting, too, at the same time? So how are they getting the results for the opposition if less people are voting, apparently?
Well, and that's the thing. It seems like there's a lot of people that are just jaded with the system and are ready to put up their hands and say, no, we're done. But I think we're right there on the edge to where my thought at the end of the movie, which I'm not recommending it, is it's war. At that point, because if you don't have free and fair elections, you don't have elected representatives that you elect, you have people that are doing taxation without representation, based upon our Constitution and what our founders would do, I guarantee you our founders would go out and
I'm not advocating to get violent or anything,
no.
But again, we're looking at taking back our community, like here in Shasta County, saying, no, we're not going to do it. As mm-hmm. soon as we said we're not going to comply with that, then of course they come up with a law that is trying to force their hand at us to do it the way that the state wants it. And we can't allow that. That's why, you know, Laura Hobbs has got a court case coming up mm-hmm. and presenting different things that she has found in regards to not being correct.
Well, and our founders, just take a look at the tea tax. Or, I mean, take a look at what went on with Britain. Britain used to be the world's superpower, and right now the big thing, too, is about every 200 years on a superpower that had any type of fiat currency, they last about 200 years, which that's about where we're at right now.
That is true.
And
it doesn't last forever, that's for sure. We all know that.
China stocking up on gold, all the rest of it. You look at the U.S. debt clock, and we are bankrupt. We are not
a little bit
bankrupt. We're a lot of it bankrupt.
Not a little bit. I don't know if you can do a little bit or a lot.
It's
I
like
think
being a little bit pregnant. It's not a thing.
It's not a thing. It doesn't happen that way. Either you are or you're not. So anyway, before we move on, the other headline I had was prosecutor says charges dropped against election software company for political reasons. And this was in the Epoch Times. Because Trump did something with them, and so they thought if they went ahead with the charges, they would think that, you know, Trump was behind it or whatever. Yeah, okay.
When
sure.
It's this whole situation that nobody really talks about. You see the news and all the rest of these guys. They all say, oh, well, they lost all the lawsuits. No, they didn't lose all the lawsuits. They won every lawsuit that actually ended up going through and being heard.
They just don't tell the mainstream media doesn't report it.
No, they had all of these different lawsuits they dismissed on standing. They said that Texas had no standing. So the states have no standing. The people have no standing. The people who were involved and actually lost the elections over it had no standing. Who has standing?
Right.
Nobody, apparently. Standing isn't a thing anymore.
Except them. And with that, we'll go to the phones. They've got, I think it's Lori on the phone. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey.
I'm just going to give an update on the movie that was scheduled last April 14th. It got rescheduled. This is the gender transformation film.
Uh-huh.
This Wednesday, May 1st. It is Chloe Cole, C-O-L-E, and Aaron Friday. If you bought your ticket earlier, it will be transferred over to this date of Wednesday, May 1st. I have not seen the film, but it's by Epic Times, Epic Original. And I am not on the executive team, like perhaps maybe Katie or Leslie might be. And I don't know if you have guests scheduled today, or maybe they can call
in. I do.
With more, okay, all right.
But they can call in.
These are the, okay, it was originally scheduled at the Redding Rancheria, and it will be at a new location. I still do not know the exact location, other than it will be a 15-mile radius of Central Redding proper.
I don't know if I got an update on that or not. I will.
Yes, I believe that the location will be disclosed when you buy your ticket.
Yeah, and I bought my ticket a long time ago, and it's going to be transferred, so I'm sure I'm going to get an email
or some way of
finding that out.
There you go.
Really
Thank
good.
You.
So I just want to let people know that this is about, you know, protecting our kids, rights of the parents, Moms for Liberty, Shasta County. This is just it's going off the rails when we see what's going on here.
Yeah, everything is going off the rails.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find if there's a contact phone number of because not everyone's going to be in the chat room. I would go for infomomsliberty.org and maybe go from there, but area code 321-345-1671. I hesitate on giving the local people's phone number because it might be their not
personal.
Maybe somebody can either put it in call us and let us know. Yeah.
Come on up, folks. It's only $10. Evening meeting, I presume it's close to the same time.
Well, and also, if you've got older kids, I wouldn't say younger kids, like anything under probably a teenager's, but older kids that might be going through this or having these thoughts and experiences based upon what these educators are putting in front of them, it's definitely something that I would say bring your kids to. Because from looking into it and seeing it, you've got basically all these educators that are trying intentionally to trans your kids. It really looks that way.
Right.
And what this is doing is it's showing it from a perspective of somebody that had been lied to, gone through the process, then detransitioned, and also doctors' points of view that are differing but not mainstream. So that's basically what it's about and what the event is put on for, as far as I'm aware.
And we have to be allies, not just bystanders. So whether you're a peer student of someone that's having some emotional issues, stressful issues, I mean, look what COVID did. I mean, it just crushed so many people. And, fragility, vulnerable, they can hang out forever on the Internet and be further groomed and indoctrinated. And so, yeah, it's just time we all get on the same page, and that's my invite to folks. It just sounds like a way to protect these folks because of the when they have the regret of like, oh, I started transition, and I was like, oh, well, you chopped off stuff and you did whatever. It's then what? They're even more suicidal.
Right.
So we have to get our facts.
That's the thing, too, that I kind of wanted to address. After transition, they're 70% more likely to kill themselves than prior.
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
That's not gender affirming care. What we actually need to do is we need to actually get back to treating the overall mental state of where they're at and get back to mental health in this country, rather than just turning around and locking people in prisons or turning around and saying, oh, let's go ahead and do gender affirming care so you can have a 70% more likely chance of killing yourself after that point. Because the other thing is 90% of the people, the children that grow up, end up deciding, oh, I'm actually the biological sex that I was, if you just let puberty take place. The cure for it's puberty.
Okay, well, I don't have a phone number. It just gives the link to go to is the momsforliberty.org, and it's $10. But on this link that, you know, information I have, there isn't a local phone number for it.
Well, maybe somebody out there is willing to give a local phone number to give a little bit more details and further the process. I just heard the radio ads throughout the past couple weeks, so that's a plus. And, thanks for taking my call on this event coming up. All right.
We appreciate it. And with that, we'll go to our next caller. We've got Stones on the line. Good morning. Are you there, Stones?
Yo, I'm here. There's always a delay.
Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That Moms for Liberty event, by the way, the folks that buy the tickets, they're going to get the location emailed or called to them a day or two prior, but it is in the city of Redding, city limits. I have a location, but I cannot give it out. But
I do too,
city
but I wasn't giving it out.
Everybody's going to get that. And then I kind of have a public service announcement. So I'm hearing on the weekends on other radio shows an entity called Shasta County Watchdog Group or something similar to that. Well, I found out through a very trusted source that I'm not going to give the person's name who is running this watchdog group because this person embarrasses themselves enough as it is in very public manners. But I'm going to give the recommendation. This watchdog group, they're asking for whistleblowers. They're asking for people that have stories of government corruption. Unfortunately, in my humble opinion, this person running this group is not to be trusted. I don't believe this person is going to be impartial in forwarding any complaints that they receive. So what I will do is I will recommend another location, another place for whistleblowers to go to. And that's the Mountaintop Media, Mountaintop Times. They are doing such good work, their media output recently has really, really increased. They're doing a lot of good stories, local, national, and I have a phone number that they have a hotline. Mountaintop Times has a hotline for people to call in, anonymous or not, and to report items. So that's 530-638-4150. So I recommend people do not use Shasta County Watchdog Group. That person is not trustworthy. I would have recommended everybody go to Mountaintop Times. Those people are very trustworthy.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in and giving us that information. We appreciate
it. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks, Tones.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a few minutes left. I know we wanted to hit upon, there's just so much to hit upon. I do want to say this. Did you see, this was from the Frontline News. Students suspended for asking whether alien on that vocabulary list means space aliens or illegal aliens.
Well, and
we're talking about children and craziness. I mean, come on.
That's
hello.
The first one I've heard. So
really?
This is just in the last week I've heard of four students that ended up getting kicked out of school or suspended based upon using the term illegal alien. And there's another one here that I've got from yesterday's date via townhall.com. Illegals get separate line at airports because they don't have documentation verifying who they are. Border Patrol agent confirmed that California City is now the busiest sector along the southern border as agents witness at least 1,000 illegal entries a day. A CBP spokesperson said that at least one day last week there were more than 2,000 apprehensions, which, by the way, for every apprehension there's three gotaways.
Wow.
And they're also, if you guys have been following, our National Guard got rushed by a whole bunch of illegals coming over, and they decided not to prosecute any of them. So you're breaking the law coming into the country.
No,
you don't
not.
Have any care whatsoever
it.
For the
you're
Border
not
Patrol.
Getting it, babe. You're not getting it. But isn't back to the airplanes, isn't that part of, they were flying them into 24 different airports. We don't even know which airports they're flying them into.
I have to have a license that has a little gold star on it and a bear on it to validate who I am in order to fly, but you can have literally anybody come across the border right now with no paperwork whatsoever and fly on any planes. The whole reason
right.
why we had that was because of the 9/11 terrorist attacks where you had people that came illegally and crashed into planes.
Not only that, but I have to take my shoes off. I have to put all my belongings on the little belt and go through the little machine. I have to be, I always, almost always, get singled out and have to be patted down and searched.
Mm-hmm.
They pull me out. And, yeah, I can't even carry, nail clippers or anything, but they let them in. So
in January, travelers were outraged to learn that illegal immigrants were exempt from the rules that U.S. citizens have to follow, such as providing that they are legally allowed in the country. Signs popped up through the U.S. airports that suggest illegal aliens were allowed to board flights without showing proper identification. On the contrary, U.S. citizens must show a valid identification card or a passport even to get through security, let alone board a plane. The immigrants are allowed to use the controversial CBP One app as their travel document, and it's their choice to fly if they want their photo taken.
I am an American citizen. I'm quite offended that these migrants have come here and are getting preferred treatment and being prioritized in so many ways. That Dave Rubin wrote on X. Me too.
Yeah, me too. So I belong to an organization that's called Lexit, which is the Latinos Exit from the Democrat Party. And we are also pro-closed borders based on the fact that a lot of us immigrants who came here legally are now being put to the backstand, and now we're other people that came here illegally. While we did the right thing and came here legally, went through the whole process, are put to the side, and then they get everything that for free. They get free housing, they get free food, education, while the rest of us put in our work
and our taxes.
Well, yeah, I would have more rights if I left the country and came over illegally than I do right now. I mean, you look at New York. New York just ended up saying, yeah, you as an illegal, you can possess a firearm. Everybody else can't possess a firearm.
Well, you know, before we came on air, I was talking to somebody in the lobby, and we were talking about homelessness. You know, mm-hmm. I hear this is a big subject for everybody in the community. Okay, I'm just going to say, there's no way you're going to fix homelessness anywhere in the United States if you have an open border. There's nothing you can do. You can throw all the money at it you want. You can build all the buildings you want. It's not going to fix anything. If you're allowing millions of people to come into our country and take over, you're not going to, and push us out in the street, basically, you're never going to fix it. Mm-mm. Sorry. Not going to happen.
Well, and a nation without borders isn't a nation. It's just what it comes down to. You've got people that have been coming over, and now they're saying, all right, they're not voting in our elections, but they are. They're in our census. They're having all the representation. We've got one guy over here, LaMalfa, for instance, that represents us. Now, based on the
If you
want to
say that, I'm just saying.
Fair enough. But you've only got one dude. But you've got these sanctuary cities that they're all, according to the census, getting representation based upon the people that are there. So we don't have any representation. So
taxation without
representation. Yeah. I am so black-pilled right now looking at everything that's going on. You have a Justice Department, FBI, CIA, any of the three-letter
agencies. Is a bunch of BS.
They are actively targeting any of the people that do not make the political spectrum that they want. And it's in their literature. Just last week, we had more documentations coming out talking about Christian nationalists and about how these Christian people are so bad, or about moms. Dude, you can't kill anybody on the Epstein list, but you're going after moms
talking on the school board?
Really?
Well, you know, back to that movie. You remember at the end of the movie, Let My People Go, how they had all those names of the January 6th people?
And they're still there.
Yeah, they make it sound like only a few, like a handful of people have been contacted or in prison over January 6th. No, mm-hmm. There's thousands of names that was on that showing that either they've been arrested or they've had a knock at their door or they've changed their life just for being.
They're
some of them weren't even at January 6th, and they're still being harassed or picked up by DOJ or FBI or whoever.
They're going after people that just supported them. They're going after people that just said publicly, hey, yeah, I probably would have done that too at the same time.
Right.
You know what? That's absolutely asinine. And what we're seeing right now, I think they're trying to set everybody up for a civil war. I think they are. I think they want to wipe out
people. I think they
want to
keep us divided. I think that's part of the problem with the people, we know, coming over the border. That also gives them their voting bloc. But that way, you know, I'm sorry, it's not even like I'm in America anymore. Even here in Reading, when I go in a grocery store and nobody really speaks English, I'm sorry, I have an issue.
Mm-hmm. What we're seeing right now is we're seeing everything that we had in this country be degraded. We're seeing all of the products and all the jobs that we used to do shipped over to China. And what we're left with is we're left with a whole bunch of people that are on welfare programs. Literally, just pull up the U.S. debt clock.
Yeah,
how many people
are on the government? I mean, what are we got to be close to 60%, if not higher, the people that are actually pulling off of the government for the welfare and all the free programs.
Well, that's because they're being incentivized to be on programs so they could be controlled easier.
Well, yeah, you're not.
they don't realize, they're going to be controlled here pretty soon. You know what? If you want the carrot, hello,
okay,
here it
is. Think about this for a minute. You're not allowed to work, but you are allowed to go on government programs. How does that make any sense?
Well, that's because you need to get on the treadmill and get to running so I can have my free programs. Don't you get it?
Well, and this is the point that I'm trying to make on it. All right, so if you're incentivizing that I can't work, but I have to go on the government programs, now I'm in a position to where I'm reliant on those government programs, which means I'm reliant on one side. I mean, honestly, we don't have any more teat to suckle at. You've got basically American citizens right now, assets per citizen, 603,000. Liability per citizen, which is debt for people that don't understand that, 638,000. That is bankrupt. That's bankrupt.
And with that, we're at the top of the hour. We've got some special guests in the house, and we're going to be switching gears. So stay tuned, and we'll see you in about 5 minutes.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Student anti-Israel protesters at a number of U.S. college campuses say they will not stop their demonstrations, but some schools are moving in.
Police in riot gear have cleared an encampment at Northeastern University in Boston. Arizona State University says authorities there have arrested 69 people. Meanwhile, authorities say they've arrested 23 people at Indiana University. However, Columbia University in New York says students and administrators there have engaged in negotiations.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Meanwhile, former Congressman John Campbell, a Republican of California, describes as astounding the development of open anti-Semitism in this country in a very short span of time.
This is within the last, I want to say, almost 8 years or so, 10 years, something like that, that this kind of activity could come up and not be universally shunned, universally just repulsed.
Former Congressman Campbell spoke recently with the Salem Radio Network. Jamie Dimon, the chief at J.P. Morgan Chase, says he is hopeful that the Fed is going to be able to bring down inflation without triggering a recession in the process, but he's not sure that's going to happen. He's also worried about the possibility of stagflation. That's when the economy is weak or in a recession, and yet prices keep moving higher. Dimon reiterated his support for an independent Federal Reserve in an interview yesterday with the Associated Press. The character performers at Disneyland in California have filed a petition for union recognition. The organizing effort comes more than four decades after their peers at Disneyland's park in Florida joined one. Why now? A lot of it has to do with Disneyland resort workers' proximity to Hollywood, where unions abound. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos, a better, easier way to get term life insurance, all online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Tired of hearing scary radio ads about the IRS? Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000 or $500,000, we have a solution. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS with zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with a BBB. End your tax nightmare today by visiting TRA.com or call 800-275-3490. That's 800-275-3490.
Delta Airlines is raising pay for flight attendants and other non-union workers by 5%.
The airline is also boosting starting pay for all its U.S. jobs to at least $19 an hour. The pay raises come as Delta braces for another attempt by a union to represent its flight attendants. The Association of Flight Attendants hopes to qualify for another vote among Delta cabin crews by year's end.
Correspondent Jeremy House, Union President Sarah Nelson says Delta's huge profits should be translating into industry-leading pay and benefits for flight attendants, but they're not. Dozens of people in northern Italy have raised their arms in the fascist salute to honor Italian dictator Benito Mussolini on the 79th anniversary of his execution. Dressed in black, the neo-fascist supporters marched through northern Italian towns where Mussolini was arrested and executed at the end of the Second World War. News and analysis at townhall.com. Tennessee Republican Governor Bill Lee says he thinks workers at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga made a mistake when they voted to unionize.
Before the vote, Lee and five other Southern Republican governors spoke out publicly against the campaign. They argued that if auto workers were to vote for union representation, it would jeopardize jobs. Instead, the union wound up pulling 73% of the vote at a facility whose workers had narrowly rejected the union in 2019 and 2014.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Next up, workers at a Mercedes plant near Tuscaloosa, Alabama, vote on UAW representation in May. Today is Sunday, April the 28th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including former Secretary of State James Baker. He's 94 years old. Actor and singer Ann Margaret, 83. Former Tonight Show host Jay Leno is 74 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. In the heart of wildfire country, a game-changing airbase emerges to combat California's fiercest flames. Officials gathered in Redding to celebrate the completion of an expanded airbase, a one-of-a-kind facility designed to revolutionize wildfire fighting. The base will double its capacity to accommodate firefighting aircraft and load fire retardants, enabling faster response times and more effective initial attacks. By hitting fires hard before ground crews arrive, the base aims to prevent small fires from becoming devastating infernos like the Carr, Camp, and Dixie fires. The $28 million project also includes a new hangar to provide a safe working environment for personnel during Redding's scorching summers. As California braces for another wildfire season, this state-of-the-art airbase offers hope in the battle against nature's fury. Meanwhile, Shasta County residents, stay informed and safe with Alert Shasta, the new and improved emergency alert system launching May 1st. Shascom, the public safety dispatch agency for Shasta County and its three cities, is replacing the outdated Code Red system with Alert Shasta. The new system promises faster, more targeted alerts using advanced geolocation technology. However, the approximately 10,000 residents currently signed up for Code Red must register for Alert Shasta to continue receiving notifications about wildfires, natural disasters, and nearby law enforcement incidents. Residents can sign up through Shascom's website or by QR code with their smartphones. Don't miss out on critical emergency information. Register for Alert Shasta today. In other news, the winds of change stir up a legal storm in Shasta County. The California Attorney General's office is seeking to transfer a lawsuit filed by Shasta County against the California Energy Commission, CEC, over the controversial Fountain Wind project, arguing that the state agency cannot receive a fair hearing due to the presumed local prejudice. The county claims the CEC lacks authority to consider the 4,500-acre project for approval, which was previously rejected by the County Board of Supervisors. The Pitt River Tribe, whose ancestral lands include the proposed site for the wind turbines, has joined the lawsuit against the state, opposing the project. In 2022, the California legislature approved AB 205, allowing the CEC to potentially overrule Shasta County's decision and approve the Fountain Wind project. Texas-based ConnectGen aims to build up to 48 wind turbines capable of generating about 200 megawatts to power approximately 80,000 homes. The county denied the project, citing concerns about wildfire risk, harm to cultural and tribal resources, tourism, the watershed, and mental and physical health. The county argues that moving the case outside Shasta County would make it difficult for tribe members and residents to follow the proceedings. They propose appointing an outside judge to hear the case in Redding instead. As legal battle over the Fountain Wind project intensifies, the future of renewable energy development in Shasta County remains uncertain, with far-reaching implications for local community and the state's energy landscape. Lastly, a Redding family seeks support as their baby battles a rare cancer. 6-month-old Jonathan Wilson of Redding is fighting neuroblastoma, a rare childhood cancer. Currently undergoing
undergoing chemotherapy at UC Davis Medical Center in Sacramento, Jonathan and his parents face a long journey, with doctors estimating treatment could take 6 months to a year. Currently, the family is staying at the Sacramento Ronald McDonald House in hopes to bring Jonathan there when he's well enough. Jonathan's mother, Stephanie Hale, expressed uncertainty about her son's future and asked for prayers and support from the community. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help cover medical and travel expenses. Their goal is to raise $15,000. To donate, visit www.gofundme.com/f/3escf-johns-medical-expenses. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
If you don't know it, all the music that I've been playing today is Allman Brothers, and it's in tribute to Dickie Betts. If anybody knows, he's the guitar player. He wrote a lot of songs for them. Great guy. We lost him last week, so that is why. But they play some fantastic music, I'm just saying. Before we get to our guest that we have in the studio, I do have some more announcements that I need to make, otherwise I will be in trouble from Frank. So here we go. Honoring veterans with flags and flowers. We need about 100 people to help. It starts with May 18th at 10 a.m. at Reading Memorial Cemetery. Needs help to put flags and flowers there. And that is a cemetery down on Continental. You know, like off of 44 is where that one is. Then on May 22nd at 3:30 p.m. at Northern California Veterans Cemetery, they need help placing flags and flowers. And to report to Jonathan, and of course this is, you know, Preston Sharp. This is helping Preston Sharp. We've talked about him. Mm-hmm. Most people know who he is. And then they also need people to help picking up the flags and flowers on May 29th at 3:30 p.m. at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. So hopefully you can attend all or one of those or something to help out. Usually if we get enough hands, it doesn't take very long to do the project.
Yeah, we've been out there a couple of times ourselves, and yeah, it's normally, I mean, the last time we were out there, it was maybe 30, 40 minutes, enough people were out there. But that's, many hands make small work.
Yep. Okay, so the next one is, you know, because May's coming up, Memorial Day. May 27th at 10 a.m. at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery in Igo. We will be having service out there. I got something in mind. And then Thursday, May 30th at 11 a.m. at the Veterans Grove at the Civic Center. A lot of people like to attend that. That's going to be at 11 o'clock, and afterwards they serve lunch down there. So if you have any questions, you can call 225-4512, and that's We Salute Our Nation's Heroes. Again, that's at the Veterans Grove on Thursday, May 30th. I have directions. Oh, one more. Do you know how elections affect your retirement taxes and Social Security? They're having a workshop for the veterans. This is put on by Hope in a Bright Future. This will be held at 1605 Yuba Street at the Veterans Hall here in Reading on May 28th at 6 p.m. to 7:30. Again, that's at the Veterans Hall located at 1605 Yuba Street. So there you go. I think I got them all. So I will be announcing them again, but yeah, Memorial's coming up. Remember, it's not all about hot dogs and hamburgers and barbecues. It is about honoring our veterans. So with that, we will get to our guests. We have Returning person, we have Christy. And, well, yeah, she's returning. Not on this program, but she is a returning guest. We have Elizabeth in
Hello.
The studio. Welcome, guys.
Yes, good morning.
And so we are doing a total switcheroo here. We've been talking about voting. We've hit the news outlet and kind of slammed them. And so now we're going to move along to Bitcoin in our show that we have in the afternoon, but mainly talk about Bitcoin, the fears people have, the knowledge maybe they don't have. You know, I have a lot of people that are sitting on the fence. I just had somebody yesterday, in fact, say to me, you know, I've been looking into Bitcoin, but you know what? I wish it was backed by something. If I could just get my head around that it's you know, backed by something, then it'd be okay. And it's like, I said to him, I said, is your green pieces of paper backed by anything? Well, no. Well, okay. But you have confidence in that little green piece of paper. So anyway, what do you guys think?
Well, I see a Michael Saylor quote. I just popped it up. And he says, you know, I've never met a well-informed Bitcoin critic. So what does that say? I mean, so to this person's point, is that it's telling me that they're getting interested.
Right.
But they don't know enough about it. And they probably heard the critics' points of view and coming to this conclusion, what's it backed by?
Right.
It's backed by trust. It's backed by code. It's backed by a sovereign belief system. It's a worldwide store of value. It's non-government. It's non-centralized.
Yeah, Elizabeth's even going, wait a minute.
what else? Elizabeth, chime in. Help me out here.
I love analogies. Bitcoin is akin to gold. So you think about gold and gold mining and how that's come. And you could say, what is gold backed by? You know, but it's everybody just knows its value. And with Bitcoin, similar to gold, there's a limited supply. And that limited supply is 21 million. So if you kind of take that picture of gold and how it's mined and how it's found, I think that answers the question.
I think, too, we need to keep in mind that at one time, we, as a people, look to tulips as a store of value and a way of trade and seashells and all sorts of things. But this is Bitcoin, it rises up to the top. It is like no other thing. It's not like gold or silver, which you might still be able to find stores like that, right? But stores of gold and silver. But there's only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever be minted.
But I think, you know, too, the reason I wanted to talk about this, and we talk about it on our show, too, is not just the education piece, but this is a time in all of our lives that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I hate to use the term be diverse. I really do hate diverse, okay? Because, yeah, you think of all the things that the left says about being diverse.
They ruined the word, didn't they?
I know. It's like smart. Anything that has a smartphone, anyway.
So I've got an idea. I don't actually know a lot about Bitcoin.
Okay.
I do have some fears about Bitcoin. So I feel like this might actually be a good thing to be able to bounce back and forth on, depending on what's going on. Because I've mined it. I've done that portion
of it. Okay, now that's interesting. I don't know much about Bitcoin, but I mined it.
I've mined it.
Oh, okay.
Why did you mine it? What compelled you? Okay.
It basically, at the time, I had decent as far as my power bills and things like that in the area that I was set up. I had a number of GPUs, and so I ended up mining it, and I also tried mining some Ravencoin as well. And when I had looked into it, my fears personally about Bitcoin was the idea that it seems like it has issues as far as if a government or if a unknown creator had a 51% attack. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, they could end up taking over all of it and could make it to where you then have some rogue government that's actually in control of all of it without realizing it.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest fears. What would you guys say to that?
Well, with the number of nodes that are all around the world, nodes being a computer or cell phone, a mini computer, an ASICS computer. I mean, a whole bunch of different nodes that are validating transactions. I mean, there's, I don't know, how many are out there? I mean, it's too many to count. You'd have to take over that entire network.
Okay, so it's not just having the actual coins itself. So
correct.
Like, right. That was my right. consideration is that, okay, so you've got the Nakamura who may have been one of the people that created it. We don't know. And so then the idea and concept that you've got, what I was thinking is that 51% of the
tokens
themselves, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Right.
were already
okay.
controlled. So it's the nodes,
that's
not the coins.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. So
okay.
it's the nodes that are validating the transactions that protect the network. Now, to your
and that's
point,
the individual computers then, because all
yes.
the individual computers, when I was mining it, I was validating
right.
all of those.
That's correct. You're
okay.
validating transactions, earning fees, and probably earning a little Bitcoin along the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That's
okay.
way
I
cool.
applaud that. Awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And I would like to say, I guess the category this could be under is decentralization.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that's so beautiful that's built into the Bitcoin protocol. It's almost like real democratic money. People actually have a vote.
I'm so yeah. glad you said that
yeah.
because, you know, in other shows we've talked about that digital money has been attempted really since the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It started with various iterations like cryptography. I mean, all post-military equipment, okay, military technology that was
right.
then
so.
Given to the consumer market, very much like the Internet, GPS, TCP, IP,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. But what was different about all of the tries, and there were many, was the common theme in all of those other tries were centralization. What made Bitcoin successful is that it was decentralized. And, of course, very hardened with, you know, SHA-256, a very solid algorithm that's nearly impossible to hack.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to say, I mean, to your point, you have some really good, valid concerns that
yeah.
I think have to be addressed. I mean, look at how fast we're, our technology is evolving. At some point in time, there's going to be concern about quantum computing and,
mm-hmm.
and how to maybe solve, the random number generation, the nonces, if you will, that's all part of this component and trying to solve the algorithm. But then yet on the flip side, Bitcoin rises to innovative challenges. You know, that you hear the green story. Oh, Bitcoin takes too much energy. It's so hard on you. Too much carbon. Well, Bitcoin
yep.
comes along and says, well, we're going to suck up that exhaust, like flared gas. We're going to suck up other wasteful
that would just go out into
byproducts.
The atmosphere. Yeah.
Exactly. And we're going to find a way to use it and to this benefit. And we're going to repurpose the exhaust, the excess of Bitcoin mining. So not only you're validating and supporting the network, you might be earning some Bitcoin, but you're also repurposing energy to be used a different way.
Yeah. Well, it seems now at this point that it's gotten to be it's gotten to be commercial a little bit too much for my personal taste. Because, like, for instance, I was mining it and I had pretty good cards. But nowadays, even on like a 4090, which is for people that don't know, that's a $1,600 card at minimum, you're only making like a dollar a day on it. So it's very hard now to create these, and you've got these servers that are set up to be able to create these coins, but also I think that's where the value comes in based upon the fact that you are having to spend this amount of time, this amount of money, this amount of energy in order to end up creating these overall. So it's not something that's meant to be easy. It's something that's meant to be minted.
Well, it depends on where you're drawing the energy from.
Right.
If I got this right, you know, again, a lot of your miners are going off of stranded energy. You know, when you mentioned that, Christy, I heard coming to the studio this morning that now Governor Newsom, I had to be careful, is now wanting to trap the fumes like off of like Sierra Pacific down there. The fumes that are coming out of the smokestacks, they don't want it to go out into the atmosphere anymore. What better way than to do some mining with something like that?
Oh,
you
yeah.
know?
Look at Knopf. I don't know if you're listening, Knopf, but you put out a big steam plume from your factory. And what if that was contained and pressurized and repurposed
right.
to run a Bitcoin miner?
That could be interesting.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what we're kind of looking at. That's where Bitcoin World comes in, if you want to quote that term, world, is they're not sucking off of the system, you know?
Yeah, for me, I was really curious and interested in it when it was a little bit more in the hands of the people itself for when I was doing it, for instance. And it seems like we're seeing more and more async computing to be able to actually go through and mine these coins rather than the commercial GPUs.
That's a good point, and I'm glad you're kind of ahead of where my thought process was on that. When you mentioned GPU, that's part of the progression. Before, you were able to just simply run it off of your laptop, a simple desktop computer. And then as it became more sophisticated and there were better technologies, we went to GPU. Mm-hmm. And now that has evolved to where the GPU is, it can still do the job, but it's energy intensive, much more so, whereas an ASIC computer, which is stands for application specific integrated circuit, it has one task and one task only, and that is to solve a SHA-256 algorithmic problem.
Okay, guys, I don't want to cut you off, but yeah. I'm going to, because
is that too technical?
You guys are getting way down the rabbit hole. Okay, you already lost me.
I just got a
you
carrot.
Know, I'm sorry.
I just found a carrot down there.
I'm taking the carrot away.
Okay.
Because for most people out there, I mean, to wrap your head around the
mining,
computers and the mining is just
it's reeled back in.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, and so for me, it was really simple. There was a software called NiceHash that I was using. And, yeah, I just hooked it up to my existing gaming computer, and I just let it run when I wasn't doing it. And so that ended up making me a decent amount of profit. I want to say I got like $700 in a year from it.
But see, I don't think most people are looking at Bitcoin to mine.
That's true.
I don't think so. Right. I think it's like gold now. But
part of what we do is financially help people out. You know, we say gold. I'm not saying that gold and silver is bad.
No,
but
you
I
should
think
have
you,
gold and silver.
Yeah, I
yeah,
think.
Diversify.
And ammo and
yeah.
Good.
Ammo.
You know, I mean, but you need other things, because whether we like it or not, we are making a transition here into a whole nother part of our lives. And I think Bitcoin is going to be part of that. Now, you have the CBDCs that are going to come out, whether we like it or not.
They're coming.
The pilots have already been in place for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to happen. That isn't Bitcoin for people out there, but you need to know how, and to me, and that's part of what we do, is educate people how this world operates, how the cryptocurrency world operates, and how to obtain, because you get a lot of people go, $67,000 for a token? I can't afford that.
How do they look at gold? The same way?
Well, that depends.
And can you buy smaller units of gold rather than
that
an ounce of gold?
That is very hard.
So you can.
Yeah,
you can do that.
You normally pay and crazy amounts for it.
Exactly.
But to your point, you can buy units of silver as well. Mm-hmm. And any other metals, so you could buy units of Bitcoin. So even though it's $67,000 or whatever the price was that you said, you can simply, you have $10. You could buy $10 worth.
Exactly. And that's
and
what
solves the divisibility.
And it doesn't
problem.
Require some metalsmith to weigh it out for you and press it in some sort of way and put it in some sort of, you know, protective cover and then ship it to you.
Well,
it's instantaneous.
It's generally liquid. So if you've got a bunch of money and you want to be able to carry it, you're not going to want to carry around $100,000 of gold.
No, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that and make it anywhere, but yeah.
And so the idea and concept behind that is you've got that. But then you've also, on the flip side, you've got all these hypotheticals of the things that are like, I don't know. Because they're like, all right, so EMP. Now we don't have electricity. Now I've got a wallet, but I don't have any Bitcoin that's on that.
Well, if you got a ham radio.
A ham radio will
work.
You
got solar.
Okay, so you've got solar to be able to do it. So all you need is how do you validate the nodes, though?
Here you go.
If things are down.
This is great. If everything is down, okay, and if we ever get that to that point,
we probably
have
a lot
to worry about.
We have bigger problems, but when the ash is clear and everything starts to, you're able to come out, okay, as soon as that first miner, that first validator node is turned on, you're not missing a beat.
Okay, so theoretically, if I've got a GPU that wasn't affected by it, and I fire that up and I start mining, it's going to start verifying it, and it's going to be...
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. Cool. If I have a wallet, if it all went down and I have my Bitcoin in cold storage, and it went down for a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, makes no difference. When it comes back on, I still have it.
And just think, if you have a little bit of data, okay, about your network, whether it's your wallet, whatever the case is, and let's say, okay, we have Armageddon, all right, and the bombs come down and all of that, and all of a sudden your gold is under a 20-story building that used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go digging for the gold?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Okay. Or if you had your Bitcoin, you have some of your information, and you're able to go connect it to some
right.
sort of device, you're back online.
All right, guys, with that, we got to take a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
And also, if y'all have questions, ask them in the chat. We'll answer them.
Blues? Laughter is the best medicine. Join us in overtime every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for Comedy Night. Enjoy the humor of different comedians every Wednesday. And the weekend is heating up in overtime with karaoke every Thursday and DDJs performing every Friday and Saturday night. So grab your friends, your dancing shoes, and enjoy signature cocktails with no cover charge. See WinRiver.com for the weekly lineup.
Must be 21 to attend.
Find your moments at the river.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Wow. I'm not sure where we want to go from here, but I'm glad you guys came in. Again, you know, we're always trying to educate the people out there. And so many people, in my opinion, don't know anything about Bitcoin. So they're kind of like, you know what I mean? And it's going to happen.
Well, and it seems like
there's elements of it to where it's first in, best dress, but you've also, you've got all these other coins that are out there as well that...
That...
Shiola coins.
Yeah.
And so, once again, first in, best dress. So the other big thing that I was thinking on this, and it's true for everything when I was really looking at it, is that, okay, so... My idea of it is that, all right, markets crash, businesses go under, bad
right.
things happen, and you're going to end up probably seeing coins that are end up going down in value because people are going to have to sell them in order to actually pay or buy other things would be what I was thinking. But that would be true of gold as well, gold, silver, all the rest of it, when we actually go through this collapse, because it looks like it's coming no matter what.
Correct.
That's what's
yeah,
on my
I think
mind.
We all, I think everybody agrees upon that piece of the financial world right now.
Yeah, Peter St. Ong wrote an article about what's going to be the mother of all bailouts
mm-hmm.
is when we have to bail out our United States government.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that already with large banks, but now this next bailout's a progression of what's happened in the past. And it's only because of poor money management, our elected officials, which regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, they're just... not exercising fiscal responsibility. And
it's not so.
It's just maybe they know what the scam is, and that's why they're just going, let's just print the faux money because there is no value to it.
Well, and so there's elements of it that – oh, you do have a caller. There's
yeah.
elements of it, though, that I'm concerned as far as anonymity because, like, I liked the idea behind Monero. I'm concerned a little bit as far as everybody being able to track and see everything that I'm doing on Bitcoin. So
hold that,
okay.
And we'll go to our caller and see what our caller has to say. Are you there, Terry?
I am. How's everybody doing?
We are doing great. How are you?
Well, you know, if I'm in a room with Christy and you, Linda, and Dave, I know that I'm the fourth smartest person in that room.
You haven't met Elizabeth and Edith, have you?
Yeah.
Elizabeth just may be number five.
I'm sorry, you didn't meet the other person on our team is Lauren, which will be joining us this afternoon. You'd have a hard time with him.
I see number six? But the point is that if Christy has her parakeet in there, I would drop to seven. So, you know, the point is that, you know, I tuned in and I've been kind of in and out of this, so it's really my fault and on me. But, man, I'd just like to hear something that a simple guy like me can understand because I'm getting things on computers and mining and all this stuff, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what exactly it piques my interest in anything that Christy's doing. Because I think she's amazing, or you're doing, Linda. I think it's great. I just, as a simple guy, can somebody do a program just for, I don't know, Bitcoin for Dummies or something?
Well, we do it quite a bit because I'm not techie. Everybody knows I'm not techie. But, yeah, we can start, you know, right now and give some pointers on where to begin. What do you think, Elizabeth?
Well, yeah. And Terry, specifically, what is it that's probably your number one question about this? And there is no wrong question. Okay.
I don't really know that much about it, Christy. Absolutely 100% honest. I think that a lot of people don't understand the value of it or get it or maybe don't even think about it, but you know, I'm just saying, just something basic, maybe a program where you guys do it on, you know, on Sovereign Minds or whatever, wherever you want to do it, but do it to something where maybe I'll have you two on and you can kind of just explain it to the folks.
I think Elizabeth has something to chime in here with.
Yeah,
go ahead, Elizabeth.
And Christy, you can fill in where I miss. So just like a framework that I think helps me is thinking about, so with Bitcoin, we have a limited supply of 21 million. So how is that different from fiat, like the U.S. dollars we're seeing right now? They have an unlimited supply. Also, Bitcoin... Also, Bitcoin is decentralized. That's what we were talking about earlier, where fiat currencies are centralized. Bitcoin has clear monetary policy. We like to say it's rules, not rulers. It's kind of written in the code. Whereas fiat currencies, it's kind of opaque and it's always changing based on different emergency acts or
things like right. that. Bitcoin is also open and permissionless. Anyone anywhere can use it freely. This sometimes no. always isn't the case if there's a seizure or there's a Canadian trucker.
How do you use it? How would you use it if, let's say, I want to, mm-hmm. I don't know, I want to go, I bought some Bitcoin and I want to go, I don't know, buy a camper shell for my truck. How do I use the Bitcoin? How do I turn that into a way that the person I want to buy the camper shell from or the camper shell folks say, okay, it's going to be this much Bitcoin?
Great question. It would be ideal if the camper shell dealer accepted Bitcoin directly. That would be number okay. one. But there are, okay. you're talking about on-ramps and off-ramps. It's kind of like a highway. And that's where we are in Bitcoin, yeah. is building those on-ramps okay. and off-ramps okay. from fiat to the Bitcoin world and vice versa. Okay. So to answer your question, though, there are applications that you can carry right on your mobile phone that would allow you to convert Bitcoin into a fiat value for which then you can okay. transact with that okay. camper shell dealer.
Okay, yeah, it always kind of gets back to that. That
yeah.
Anyway, I'll just take the rest of this off the air because I'm kind of out doing stuff for Sally and I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate
yes,
it.
Thanks, Terry.
And more yeah. to what you're saying, Chris, is there is places. There is, like, car dealers here that accept Bitcoin.
Right.
There's people that do real estate that take yeah. Bitcoin. Yeah. There's restaurants that take Bitcoin
right.
here. And there'll be more and more of that
right.
you can, you know, transact with. But like you say, there is applications where you can convert it back into fiat money if you need to in order.
Well, I'm thinking of a card I carry in my wallet by BitPay. Now, in BitPay, it's got, if you can think of, a couple of compartments behind the card. So I'm looking at maybe my cell phone, and I'm looking at what my BitPay card allows me to do. So in the consumer side of things, like buying the camper shell, I would simply present the BitPay card to the camper shell dealer, and they would have their transaction complete.
Right.
Now, what happens on the back end is pretty much like a credit card processing. Okay, Bitcoin charges a small fee mm-hmm. to convert Bitcoin to dollars, pay that merchant in any way that they wish to be paid,
correct.
Whether it's in Bitcoin or in dollars or a combination thereof, and they are the settler of the transaction. But me and the camper shell dealer doesn't get involved in what's happening behind the scenes. So that's that on-ramp, off-ramp thing that I was talking about. And it's as simple as that. And on my phone, how do I protect my Bitcoin? Well, and we'll talk about that maybe at another time about security and safety, because
yeah.
that is the first and foremost thing that you want to be comfortable with. But let's say that we got past all of that, and I go into my Bitcoin, my BitPay app, and I'm going, well, I'm going to transfer X amount of Bitcoin from a wallet that I have, like another savings account. If I went
right.
to the bank and say, I'm going to go from Bank A, and I'm going to send some money over to my other bank, which is Bank B, and that's all in my wallet. And then I'm going to go over and buy my camper shell. So I just enabled all of that transfers, if you will, in my mobile app, and I didn't need to go to the bank. I didn't need to get permission. I didn't need to wait and do it on a Monday through Thursday type of thing and wait for it to clear on a Monday or Tuesday.
Before 5
p.m. It happens 24 or before 5 p.m., depending on what coast you're on, right? So,
right.
Yes.
And to your point there, you don't have to worry about if the bank says, no money.
They don't ask you why either.
I don't like you, Christy, today.
Right.
No money for you.
And they don't ask you why you're doing this.
Right.
They don't put a limit on, okay,
yeah,
we're
that.
Going to do an SAR report on you, a suspicious activity report, because you did something over $4,900 or whatever the case is.
Oh, not only that, but I know that you were buying ammo at the gun store, so I'm going to give you a score.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and we were talking about kind of privacy earlier and wanting to be anonymous. And what I love about, because sometimes people are like, well, people that use crypto, they're doing, like, illegal things. And it's actually the opposite, because it's like there is this visibility and transparency. And even though it's like the address isn't linked to the identity, even though the transaction shows where with, like, the state's money and kind of where they would like it to go and social credit score will go down to the transaction.
That's right.
Right there to your social.
I had a visual about washing fiat, you know, money laundering. Literally, I mean, there are some shady characters who want to wash the residue off of fiat currency, and they use laundromats and things like that. I mean, how is that illegal activity, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, like we've said in many programs over many subjects, when the government is starting to put their thumb on us and kind of squeeze us and say, like, child trafficking, doing bad things with money. Most people are, you know, dealing drugs or whatever with Bitcoin and all that. We know we're over the target. It's not the people are doing that. It's more of exposing them for what they are doing. You see a lot of that coming out. I mean, to your point, David, you know, you don't like everybody being able to see your transactions. Well,
and that's why I liked Monero as far as that goes, because they had an anonymous transaction ability to be able to do that. That's what's nice about cash as far as that goes.
Right.
I'm concerned as far as somebody tracking ammunition purchases or things like that in the future if I end up getting it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great point.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be where the give and take is for this new technology. I mean, it is happening. We have no say whether it's going to happen or not. But for it to be able to coexist in the same financial world, because let's face it, the Federal Reserve, the central banks are going to remain relevant to their last dying breath.
Which might be soon.
And that's why this is happening, and they're coming down and clamping on regulations and disparaging, you know, or say defaming the reputation of Bitcoin, if you will, by saying, oh, it's used by drug dealers, child traffickers, I mean, and all of these things which happen in the fiat world all the time. And
have been.
And am I going too far to suggest that maybe the people that are printing the money are actually engaging into that stuff?
No.
Okay, I won't go any farther.
No, but you can.
But as far as to address your point, if you're doing just normal everyday transactions, what shows up on the Bitcoin blockchain is simply an address for a wallet from where that transaction came from. It's not going to say this is David.
Mm-hmm. Can somebody ban my wallet or...
Can they what?
Ban my wallet, ban me from transacting?
This comes down to crypto hygiene, whereas you need to protect your privacy as far as getting access to that wallet to where that Bitcoin is stored. It's no different than protecting your bank account.
Yeah, exactly.
Your social security number, even though the social security numbers have been, everyone's has been stolen and resold at some point in time, which Bitcoin is so much more secure than that.
Yeah, it's on a blockchain that's validated across
everything.
Right, yeah.
So one of the benefits that I see on it personally is I think about gold and stuff like that, and then you look at these asteroids, like there's an asteroid that's worth like 280 something trillion dollars, but nobody thinks about, all right, we mine that stupid thing or we find this giant amounts of ore and gold. Like, a lot of people don't think about it. 1930s Germany, there was a whole bunch of gold that went missing that probably is still out there that somebody owns, and it's probably a government.
I bet you a nickel that Elon Musk had thought about that.
Well, and so that concept is, all right, so if you bring $29 trillion of gold here, what's that going to do to the gold price? Yeah. Gold is now like,
that's right.
All right, let's pave the streets with it.
So cool. You're getting it. You got it. It's all about supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And, we don't know where the next supplies of gold or silver is going to be there because we know that it's out there. How are you going to mine an asteroid? Well, I think it's been thought of, but it's the how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll see that in our lifetime. Maybe we won't. But there will never, ever be an opportunity to mint or mine any more Bitcoin. And there's about 100 and what? What is it? Over 130 years left before the coin is ever minted.
Who makes that decision? So I realize there's 130 years.
It's in the code.
But it can't. Somebody can't just change the code.
Nope.
Okay. Not unless everybody agrees to it. It's on the chain.
And I don't even think that would happen. It's possible, but it's the ethos of the entire Bitcoin network, just the belief system of it. And there might be another cryptocurrency, maybe like Litecoin, that might be a preferred transaction coin. It might be XRP. Mm-hmm. But Bitcoin is going to be that store of value.
So what about Bitcoin versus, like, Ethereum, for instance?
Oh, gosh.
You have them in there now.
Okay. Yeah. Ethereum is... Ethereum.
Oh, boy, you opened up the gate there.
I'm not a fan, but we got to give them credit for producing something that allows a purchase of a home and all of the things that go along with purchasing a home to happen in a token.
Make it more diverse.
Right. How your inspections are handled, how the contract is handled. It's called a smart contract. Mm-hmm. And boy, they're the kingpin, Ethereum, behind that. There are other blockchains that are smart contract blockchains, but that's where they're good. As far as wanting to hold them as an investment, that's a personal choice. I'm not a fan because I think that they've become a highly centralized company or blockchain, whereas they used to be primarily decentralized. And they did that when they went from proof of work to proof of stake. And I think there's something going on in the background about that as to why that even happened in the
that
first place.
That was about when I got out.
Yes.
Is when they ended
it's when
up
a lot of
that.
People got out of it.
Because for me, I liked the idea of, okay, I'm actually mining it. I see how that works. The idea that I'm sitting on all of this money, and I get more money for sitting all of it, is more of like a centralized backing to be able to see like what we're doing right now in the stock market.
It's like, let's turn on the printing machine, and because it's devaluing the value of the hard coin, like the proof of work. I mean, there's only so much it can be mined, but you go into proof of stake, I mean, that's different. You get staking rewards. I mean, where is that coming from?
It's giving Elon Musk more money is the way I look at it, which no offense on Elon Musk. He's earned it. But
well, he's not part of Ethereum, though.
Yeah, I
that's
just mean
Vitalik.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, okay, so he's got all this money, richest man in the world,
And
by that, his investments are making a whole bunch more money. There's no problem with that, but as far as being able to actually create something, I see people being able to create it versus people just holding it, creating it. Makes a lot more sense, because that's my whole problem with the American fiat currency.
Right.
You basically have something to where the moment we had a Fed that said, I'm going to give you $100 that I made, and I'm going to charge you interest on that $100 that I made.
You have a problem with that?
How are you going to pay me back $100? I'm the one that has all the money. I gave it to you in the first place, and you're supposed to pay me $104. How does that work?
Here's a great point. So the longer you hold Bitcoin, probably the more valuable it's going to be. The longer you hold your fiat dollar, the less valuable it's going to be.
Well, that's what we see every month right now with the inflation reports.
Right.
And when you look at it, like I'm looking at the 5-year right now. So the 5-year on Bitcoin, it is up 782.64%. The 5-year on Ethereum is up $1,612.29%. It is just sky high, but to your point again, it seems like they're creating all this more and more and more, and it's more like a silver variant of fiat that is there versus Bitcoin. That's more like the gold, as far as I can
see. And I think if you were to Google, and I might be wrong on this, but the last time I Googled it, what was the best asset with the best overall return in the last decade? It comes up as Bitcoin. So things kind of balance out. What's that?
I said Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. We should have a sound effect. Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, Elizabeth.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up, bringing it kind of back to, I think, us regular folks sometimes, is, so you might be listening and think, okay, I've willing to hold Bitcoin, purchase it, give it a try. How do I do that? What is step one?
Good
point. I know that was always a question that I had, and I'm like, I may not want to mine. How can I buy this? And then how am I going to buy a whole Bitcoin? Kind of what we mentioned earlier. I was a college student at the time. I don't have thousands of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and no one told me that I could buy Satoshis and that one Bitcoin was made up of a million Satoshis. So what you can do is you can go to an exchange. I know that still sounds like, what is that? And you can buy actually Bitcoin on Cash App.
Right.
There's also Swan Bitcoin that's pretty trusted, and yeah. I think there's no fee, purchasing fee up to $10,000.
Right.
And you can even set up like a dollar cost average if you don't want to make a big purchase. So what does that mean? You could buy like $10 a day, turn
it
on
and forget it.
On and off.
Set it and
so so you will log on there. I'll ask you for some information, and then you can purchase. So once you purchase it, though, it will be held on the exchange, and then you can purchase a hardware wallet and move it off onto there. So you kind of, you become your own bank.
Yes.
But that's kind of the first step. So if you're just ready to buy, you just think, you know what, I will buy $100 and look at it in a few months and see what happens. Or, I mean, you could buy more if you're ready to go all in, but that's kind of the first steps that you would do.
I'm glad you brought that up because on this program, and even on our program, we're always talking about, you know, being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you go out and you buy the flour or you buy, you know, the ammo or the parallel economy, getting involved in that, where what do you have to lose if you only put a certain amount, like Elizabeth says? It's not that you have to go sell everything and try to buy a coin of 6 or 7 grand or whatever it is, but how would you feel if you didn't try it a little bit and it's all going to go to hell.
No, I know. I personally have regrets. I mean, I was thinking about buying it when it was $700-$800. Ah, stupid. It's never going to go anywhere.
It's all relative to the time. I mean,
we're still early.
We've had inflation that plays into the overall dollar price.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're equally related, but as the price of the dollar goes down, it takes more dollars to buy a hard asset, and so it drives the price up. But it's all relative, and so the whole point of it is just start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just start.
Yeah. What do you got to lose? So try it a little
bit. You're not behind. You're still early in the game.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's true based upon just the fact that you have people right now like myself that don't know anything on it. That right there says, out of the people that do know things on it, and like I said, I mind it. I still don't know a lot on it. It was just, I had the stuff. I was like,
you know what?
Cool.
You seem pretty knowledgeable.
But the thing of it is, none of us know everything about it. We're always constantly learning.
Yeah.
Everybody's at a different level. And that's what makes it nice, is we all go, okay, well, maybe you're not, we all know I'm not techie. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the computer is a foreign thing to me to a certain degree. But with everybody's help, and Bitcoiners are really good about that. We don't care what level of education you have on it.
Right. You know, if you're interested in really learning more about this, you know, we have a local meetup. Meetups are great places.
Yeah.
This is where Linda and I learned a lot about this. We went and got on webinars with other people and just sat and learned. But we have one right here in our own community called the Reading Bitcoin Meetup.
Yeah.
And they meet once a month, sometimes twice. And you can really go and get into the weeds and have somebody actually show you how to do this. They'll show you on a wallet. They'll probably give you some Bitcoin, you know, just for trying.
Yeah.
You know, $5 worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah. We are known for that.
Yeah.
Very generous.
It's pretty cool. When I first started, it was like,
Christy,
you know, hold my hand. Still, there's times I'm like, I don't quite understand. Come hold my hand and walk me through this. And most of us will.
So what is the best application that you've experienced to be able to purchase it?
I love Swan. I love Swan because it's set it and forget it. I have decided that X amount of dollars a day will go towards my purchase of Bitcoin. And then once a week, they hit my bank account and they purchase the Bitcoin for me.
SwanBitcoin.com.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you want to use our affiliate code, it's SwanBitcoin.com/tokens-. radio-show.
Yeah. And, yeah, you can leave it there. You can pull it off, which I have to do. But it's nice. If you need to stop it, you can stop it. You can, you know, add to it. You can take away from whatever you're...
Make a one-time purchase.
Right. You can make a one-time purchase. But the first time I did it, I mean, I'll be honest, I had Chris come over. It's like, I'm scared to do this. Just go ahead, you know, click here, do this. And I'm like, are you sure? You know, because it was only, we started out like $10. So right. that if I screwed it up and lost it, you right. know what? I only lost 10 bucks. And then you yeah. get a little bit more comfortable with it and a little bit more comfortable.
I like easy, and I prefer Swan, too. I mean, yeah. I've done the exchanges. I've used several of the exchanges over the last few years. I always come back to Swan. I'm going to be looking in the River. I think that's yeah. interesting as well. They're like Swan.
Don't use Robinhood. That's what I do know.
No Robinhood.
Yeah. You know, I guess we're almost to the end of the show. I want to thank you guys for coming in. And
thanks
you can
for
always,
having us.
Yeah, listen to us. We're on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock. And we have our programs archived. But we have some good conversation. Call in or whatever if you need to know more information.
And
you want to come on, Dave, you can come on.
Yeah,
and you can
anytime.
Ask questions anytime.
Yeah.
And that's on KCNR1460.com
yep.
for our online listeners on Rumble.
So with that,
thanks a bunch, you guys.
Yeah, thank you, and we will see y'all next week. Who knows what is up in the air next week? So there you go. My brother should be back, and we'll see what we do.
All gun control's racist.
All right.
I am just a simple man working on the land.
Oh, it's brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.